Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Jeff Arnold, a five-time best-selling author, publisher of the Arizona 100, and now podcast host for Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers where your story takes center stage. Hey, listen, in the heart of every industry leader lies an innovator and a visionary that has a story just waiting to be told. And at Let's Talk About It, we're going to have conversations with all kinds of leaders and visionaries. Can't wait to have you as one of our podcast guests, too. If you listen to the end, we'll tell you how you can be a guest on a future show. Thanks for joining us. Hello, welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Hey, listen, today I have a conversation with an absolute industry shaper, an icon, a personal mentor and great friend, Mr. Tom Freeland. Tom, welcome to the show.
Jeff, you're way too kind. I'm so glad to be on with you. It's my great pleasure in life. And boy, it's a fireside chat with a friend. I could not be happier to be on here with you.
I'm excited about it. And for our listeners, of course, we will get to the point that everyone fast forwards to, and that is the hard-won wisdom lesson. We'll ask Tom for that later in the show. But in the green room, we were talking about, let's just make this about the industry of insurance. It'll, of course, evolve into our friendship because we're good friends. We've known a lot, we've done a lot, seen a lot. And if you happen to make your living in the glorious industry known as insurance, this is a podcast for you. So, Tom, let's do a little background on you, if you don't mind. Let's talk about your illustrious career. I know the careers you've grown and what you've done, but in your own words, my friend, could you bring us up to speed?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I, like many people, fell into the insurance industry, Jeff. It was not my higher calling when I was like in elementary school, as you probably are in the similar situation there. And boy, what great good fortune to fall into this industry, right? It was the best thing that could have happened to me. I kicked off with a company called Atlanta Casualty. That eventually with Great American, we were spun off. We became our own Infinity Insurance, a combined entities of companies. I was a vice president of marketing and sales. I did all the training and development stuff for that organization. We grew it over the time I was there. We grew from about $90 million to $1.4 billion. And after that, I did consulting. I did a startup with the Florida Blue, $26 billion healthcare company. And we worked with healthcare plans around the country. Assurance America, again, lots of consulting things that you and I have worked to get partnered on a venture Absolutely. Together before. Lots of opportunities to do that. I love the consulting space. I love the public speaking space. And was with Assurance America when we reconnected some with that. And then now I have the great pleasure to serve as the president of Liberate, a company that you know and love. And it might be the sweetest spot in my life. It is so fun to be involved in this and to really have an opportunity to make an impact on the industry. So we met a long time ago. We've known each other forever. It's good to see you.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that for our listeners. Tom and I are similar backgrounds, dirt roads, mobile home for me, dirt road for him. And people like to ascribe to us these, oh, how fortunate and privileged you are. But we both know that we worked endless hours, right?
Yes.
And the privilege we were given was being born an American. That's the true privilege, right? Where the free enterprise system still works. And if you work hard enough, wow. You seem to get very lucky, right?
So. Yeah, isn't that funny? And the funny thing is, I don't know about you. I do know about you. I'm going to say this for you. I think both of us are in this stage in life where we care more. We work hard. I've never worked harder than I work now. I never cared more about building and success and all those things. And it's in you're infused with it too, your energy around it, and you're so stinking good at it that it's great to be at this stage of life. We're not like out the pasture yet, for sure. But to be here and to have that same exuberance for coming in every day and building and just outworking everybody we can outwork.
It's true. And the difference between now and me 10, 20 years ago is understanding the mental game that I need to be in, right? So I have better control of my mental awareness and my thoughts. And maybe if you're an executive or a founder, whatever, you struggle with this, we all have thoughts popping into our mind, right? And there was always be, am I going to make it a success? And the doom and gloom sometimes would take over. And over the period of the last 7 to 10 years, I've become an expert of weeding that junk out, and it's really helped, right? There's an atmospheric attraction or a manifestation of abundance that just comes when you learn to control those thoughts.
And I don't want to get too esoteric, right? Because I don't want to offend anybody that's just on one spiritual path. But there's certainly something about wrestling your thoughts and getting them under control that improves your life and everything, right? Again, part luck and part success and part experience. But really, the journey for me has been getting those thoughts under control and getting them directed into an outcome that I want. So you can get to create your own life. And that's pretty powerful.
That is okay. So I'm not surprised by this. Your audience won't be surprised by this either. I joined the podcast as like the guest, and instead I'm the student, right? In this case, right? I'm getting to learn from my friend Jeff, and so that's so wise. I struggle with that too, right? Just trying to make sure you want everything to happen so quick, and so you want to do it so well, and you want to just absolutely kill it, and you care so much. But you know what? You're going to struggle in there too. It's not going to go. I have not built a business yet, and I've had that opportunity to do that 4 times now. I've not built a business yet where it's just gone from zero to perfect, right? I don't know if that happens, but I haven't seen it. It's not been my experience, right? It's usually you want it to be the hockey stick, and instead it's like a up and down and up and down, and then you catch a certain momentum, right? And it goes, and you feel like, oh wow, we made it. But you have to reckon back and say, hey, when I build the next one, it's going to have a part of this too, right? And I can't take that as everything's great, everything's terrible in my life because of what's going on at that given moment in time there. And so me hearing that from you is just it's just great wisdom. So I appreciate it.
No, man, I've sat at the feet of Tom Freeland and learned many a thing. So if you take one nugget from Hillbilly Jeff Arnold, that's fantastic, right? And that's, quite candidly, some of my best memories are the stage stuff that we've done together, right? And it's just a few, right? But just there exists a synchronicity, an energy that is spans all time and even the lack of time. If we didn't see each other for a year, it'd be back as no time had passed. There's just something kindred about that. And kindred might not be the word for me. It is synchronicity, right? It's just, I don't know what would have happened if we would have met at 25 years old.
Oh, to do it all over again.
Absolutely. Well,
No,
let's talk
I
about.
agree with you on that. So we met a long while back. I think we met, I was at Infinity at that time, and I did a 41 city road sh show every year for about maybe 8 years. It was a brutal travel engagement, but I saw 3,000 to 4,000 independent agencies over the course of that time and just loved it because I was getting to engage with the people that I love about the business that I love. And we met somewhere along that way. And then from there, it was pretty instant connection.
Yeah, I had the fortune. It was just your voice and your demeanor that stuck with me. I heard you speak probably a decade, 12 years before. I don't remember, Tom, right? But then we were, I think, on the golf course in Atlanta or outside of Atlanta, some subpar, really cheap course you took me to golf. I can't remember now. As you sport your Augusta shirt on the video today. At any rate, I was like, wait a minute, I've heard you speak before. I know. And it just took us that time together. And we aligned the calendars. And so, again, had known you, had again, sat at your feet and listened to you speak and drink in what you said, could tell you what you said that decade later. But it wasn't until I think it was on the golf course or in the conference room there that I was like, man, I know you.
It was so, that's funny you said that because here's how it came together that day. We were having a board meeting, and we were all having an off-site board meeting up at a place called Barnsley Gardens. This is outside of Atlanta. And we started talking about we really need to hear from agents, right? We're a carrier. We need to hear from some agents. Who would be the best, most influential? Who could come in and absolutely tell us truth, wisdom, and truth, and not only tell us what we want to hear, but if we really care about getting better, we want to hear from the best out there and give us direction, guidance, even run, Jeff, I think of it this way too, even run strategy. What carrier runs strategy by their agency? If I'm involved in that business, I'm very happy to run strategy by a guy like Jeff Arnold, right? Best of the best, top shelf, and has this wisdom, some of it learned through hard knocks, right? But this wisdom that is so meaningful that is it makes you want to share what you're doing and get input and direction back. So that's your great gift in many ways. You're an encourager, and you have that. And you're right. We're kindred spirits for sure.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Let's talk about the Tom Show a little bit. to focus on your current venture, which is
yes.
Liberate, of which, full disclosure, we are a customer, a wonderfully happy customer of this AI-infused agent for not just insurance. It could be used in any industry, but we leverage it for purposes of this conversation in the insurance agencies. And of course, he leverages it in insurance companies. But maybe if you give us just an overview of what you're doing there and the services there.
Yeah. So I'm so fortunate to partner with people that you've met. You met Amrish before. He's our CEO and co-founder. And then I don't think you've met Jason and Ryan yet, but they're unbelievable gurus. Jason, particularly on the product side, as we develop our product. And then Ryan is an unbelievable guy as far as the technology and the building of all the stuff that we do. I have the great fortune of serving with them and a great group of people. When you look at what we do, I think of it this way. I know that we've always had some challenges in our business, and I've fought some of these challenges and I've not been able to solve them before. And I over time thrown my hands up and said, that can't be solved, right? And I'll give you just an example of that. Here's an example. So call center at Atlanta Casualty, right? This is a long time back, right? Big call center though, lots of people, right? Lots of calls coming in. And we had an event by which we moved offices. And all of a sudden, it was a terrible commute to work. And we had people who wanted to be with us, but just said, I'm going to leave. And this is back in the day when there was no work from home and all that cool stuff. So what happens? Well, our call center blows up, right? And it blew up. When did it blow up? It blew up in peak times, right? So now average abandonment rate, average speed to answer, all those things that happen through the normal course of any call center were much, much worse, magnified much worse. And customers, they didn't hate us, but they didn't love the experience that we were giving them. And we didn't love it either. And then we get through some of that and we still have this thing where there's this lag where we have these peak periods and we just can't answer the phone, right? And then I went, of all places, to the Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Florida, and we were doing call services and answering calls for Blue plans around the country and all this. And we had all these people for open enrollment. And it's madness, all this business coming in at one time, because there's a certain period of time when this event happens. And I just always thought there has to be something better than this, where we hired this giant number of people, and then we still can't handle the peak times in the business. It's not about what happens Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. always. It's usually what's happening at some other time or after hours, right? And so when I was initiated into Liberate and what we do, the wheels just came off for me. And I said, boy, this is transformative, right? So what we can do is we have we do multimodal, but let me give you our hero case, right? We sit there and just answer the phone, right? We have an AI voice assistant. Her name is Nicole. And Nicole is always happy to be there. Nicole was, when it's a claims environment, Nicole was dialed up to be extra empathetic. And when it's a sales environment or a service environment, Nicole was dialed up to be enthusiastic and helpful. And so that has transformed many call centers now around the country. It gives a great voice experience. And why Nicole was talking to these people when we couldn't have answered their phone before, right? They were in some whole queue, right? While Nicole is talking to people, she is out there the tool is out there deploying all the systems. They're filling out raters and agency management systems. On the carrier side, they're filling out your guide wire and they're doing your claims FNOL intake, and everything is being deployed as you do it, right? And as she's hearing this from the customer. And there is agencies or carriers that we work with never have a hold time, right? Hold times are gone. There's not a hold time. And in fact, they don't have to do. This is a pet peeve of mine, and I bet you do too. I hate when it's press 1 for this, 2 for this, 3 for this, 7 for this, right? And usually the thing I want to do is 12, right? Which doesn't make much sense. But you go through this thing, right? And it's just not any fun. And so for what? Nicole could just say, hey, thanks for calling the best agency in the world, right? Sure, insurance agency. How can I help you today? And then whatever they say, if they speak English, we'll speak English. Speak Spanish, speak Spanish. If anything they say, Nicole's just going to sit there and help them. And then Nicole, at the appropriate moment, is going to get them to a licensed, when needed, to a licensed person that's going to help them out. And I just love it because we're serving customers better than we could have in the past.
I love it. We use it, of course, with great success in our intake for our quote systems. It even drops the data into our rater, which compresses the time to get a quote. And we're beta testing it in our service center. Just for the record, I've had the pleasure of working with Jason on several calls. He flew into Tucson to meet with us.
Oh, that's right. I'm so glad you did.
Yeah, no worries. But Ryan, I haven't met. And of course, I've met a great many people at Liberate, have the greatest respect of all of them. And all of them love Tom because I've had side conversations with all of them. Then a lot of them were there because of Tom. So you've recruited a lot of great people there based upon your, I'm going to use an old word, Rolodex. Hey, let's leave Liberate. We love Liberate, but there's more to both of our lives. You know, what I greatly enjoy about where we're at, I wouldn't call it the autumn of our life. I would still say it's the summer, maybe late summer, right?
But it's all good. Yeah, I love it.
We are called to this profession. Now, we know that it's a calling. It's not just because the income is great because it goes up and comes down, right? But it is a wonderful living. Yes. And part of our unspoken joint mission is to reach out to the next generation, the younger generation, and encourage them. And I think if we can take credit for it, you and I, when we're together, there's such a palpable energy that enthusiasm, that people can feel that they're like, holy cow, I got to be in this industry with people like that. So I think that might be, if we could use the word legacy, that might be our legacy to the industry, right?
Yes. I'm going to deter you for a second.
Yeah.
Our first legacy is this. We had a meal in Las Vegas, Nevada at a conference recently, and I was the heathen. I was just sitting there eating. And one of the people who will not be named at this moment in time swallowed and started choking. And while I sat there and just minded my own business and ate my taco or whatever I was having, Jeff Arnold, the hero, gets into action. And this is a big young man. And you did the Heimlich remover. And a Heimlich maneuver, not remover, although it worked that way. And you were able to help this person. So I got to see that live and in person. And so, I think your street cred for helping people is really high. I've got to work on mine.
And true to form, I can't take credit because we had another guest at the table, a female a CEO, founder of a wonderful tech company who just went into mom mode, was like,
she
this boy is choking. And without her prompting, we would have been I was eating tacos with you, man.
I know.
So thank God for moms. I don't want to be sexist, right? But thank God.
No, she did so good.
Without her, and by the way, she has a wonderful company too. We'll have to list the company, right? Fenris is the name of her company. Wonderful company. Love the product.
That's one thing I want to mention that because of helping people. It makes me think that this is inherent in what you do and what I've seen you do and what kind of we hopefully do together. The other thing that always draws me to you, you either care or you don't care. And so I remember three years ago, you told me I'm going to be out. I'm going to Montana. And I said, oh, great. I love going to Montana. I said, are you fly fishing? What are you doing? And all this. If I go out there, I fly fish and we stay out there and we have a great time and it's wonderful. And then you said, no, I'm not fly fishing. We have this organization that we partner with, and we're going out there and helping families in Big Fork, Montana, or somewhere around there. Give me just a taste of that, because that's about your heart, and I think that affects everything else we do.
Yeah, to level set the conversation, my daddy, his daddy, and his daddy were all preachers. So I grew up, some would call it religion. For me, I converted from religion to spirituality, right? And that's a big conversion, right? You will know. There's a difference, my friends. One is repetitive kind of stuff, and the other is like a calling, and you have a deep connectivity with your creator, right? Whoever that is in your mind. For me, it's God. But I was challenged. I grew up, of course, tithing, right? So you give. And I was challenged in my late 30s, early 40s by a friend in our church to, hey, thanks for the checks, but why don't you roll up your sleeves and come work with us, right? Mm-hmm. And not only did he challenge me, he asked me three times. And the third time, he grabbed my elbow and was like, look, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. It changed my life. I went down to Mexico, the most impoverished site that you could ever imagine, right? Way more impoverished than the trailer I grew up in Western Kentucky. It was bad.
Right.
We built this home for this man who had three daughters, no running water, no electricity. They were literally, I can't paint a picture desperate enough. They were literally living on the side of a dump in Mexico, and their house, this is not an exaggeration, if you've ever seen one of those big spindles that carries cable wire or wooden spindles, that was what was propped up, and they had a place underneath it. And God is my witness, that's where they lived. We built them a 10 by 10, changed their life. It changed my life. I left with kids fighting over PlayStation and Xboxes and, you know, this and that. And those
Yes.
kids went back with me, my same kids, like, oh my God, I don't know, how fortunate we are. I cried in the shower for 10 minutes. Like, I am so blessed and so fortunate. And other people have more than me, some don't have as much as me, but we're all way more blessed than we know. Fast forward now for 15, 18 years, we write checks. I have a foundation, RightShare has a foundation, but we do the work too, right? And
I
so
love it.
what Tom's referring to is a thing called a Week of Hope, and we take terminally ill children. We pay for their airfare, their food, and at this really nice resort in Montana. And like, this is bad. Like, leukemia doesn't get you in this club, right? As sad as it is, these are very
Yes.
negatively impacted children. Now, it's tough if I can go a little deeper than that, because
I
my
want you
ego
to.
was like, oh, I'm a 5-time best-selling author. I'm a successful executive. I want to go and do this and that. You know what they needed me for the last 3 years?
What?
Scoop poop out of the stalls, and hey, we could really use help washing dishes, right? And I'm not talking
Yes.
about for dinner. I'm like, we need a 10-hour-a-day dishwasher.
Right.
And so that's what I've done for 3 years, is push my pride down, because it's an ego hit, right? It's, hey, do you know who? But
Yeah, who I am.
what the calling was, what I surrendered to, is a dishwasher. And because you and I don't work a 10-hour day, we work 14, 18-hour a day. Before I go wash dishes, I cut grass, and after, I go scoop stalls, right? And it's not about the Jeff Show. I'm not trying to put myself
No,
in
I
front of
love
you.
it. That's what I wanted people to hear that.
It's you're giving back. We've been given more than most could ever imagine. We're called to give back, and most successful people, and many are listening to my podcast. We have a lot of private equity and venture capital folks that listen. You're called to do more than just write six-figure checks or even $10,000 checks, right? You're called to work part of it. And that just happened because a friend of mine told me 3 times and twisted my arm the last time, said, I don't want your check. I want you to go lift a hammer, move the saw. And so I didn't mean to go so deep into,
No, that's
right,
exactly what I wanted. Because you know
yeah.
what, that Jeff, that speaks to who you are as a person. And the reason people venture capital companies and things like that want to partner with you is because there's an element, and this is where you and I are connected. I always call it there's an element of know, love, and trust. I know Jeff, I love Jeff, and I trust Jeff. And I have my group of people. And many of my friends would say, oh, yeah, Tom calls me one of those people he knows, loves, and trusts. And I hope they wear it as a badge of honor. I don't think I get to, I'm not so ordered. You are love, known, love, and trust. I don't mean it like that. I just mean it as I want you to know as a person that, you have my respect, loyalty, that I care. And I really care about you as a person first. And then I care about how I love to figure out. We have gifts, certain gifts. I have many not gifts. My wife's in the other room right now. We won't go through the whole list at this moment in time, but I have Monica there and I love her. She's my favorite on the no love and trust. But we have certain gifts, right? And our gifts, it might be a business acumen or certainly hard work or relationally connecting with people or strategic vision casting. I'm not a weeds guy. I'm up here somewhere. So we have our gifts and we get, fortunately, we're able to use those gifts to build businesses as well. But that's a sidebar. First, it starts with kind of what is your human connection and how do you build teams and get people around ideas and how do you make a difference in the industry rather than taking the status quo? And so, all that context, I'm so glad you told that story. That context helps trigger the outcomes that we see today with your great success and the success that we're unbelievably blessed to enjoy at Liberate.
Thanks for sharing that, man. The love, which most men don't say together, right? It goes both ways, and it really takes somebody to be our age to be able to say that, right? Young men don't do that, right? And
We
so
don't have to worry about being cool anymore.
exactly. And quite candidly, our fathers never really said that, right? That wasn't their muscle memory. So we've come a long way, my friend.
Yeah, we have.
Wonderful. Let's talk, if you can, just a moment about what, because we're married to this industry. Where you see us is just a short rate. We're in 2020. One of my, not best selling, but one of my top selling books was called Insurance Evolved 2025. I wrote it back in 2019. Some of it still hasn't come through, but not the Jeff Show, it's a Tom Show. Where do you see us in 2030 as an industry, and some of the pivotal changes you think on your vision casting?
So I'll tell you what worries me and what excites me. How about that?
Yeah, I love that.
Let me think of it that way. Okay. So what worries me is the climate space and the impacts of the climate space stuff, right? Whatever it is. It could be, and right now, as you and I speak, there are fires raging out in Southern California, right? And those are very real, and it's very tragic. And a few weeks, maybe a couple months before that, there were giant hurricanes in Florida. And so I got to watch both of those events. But yeah, what we're seeing now today is there's a lot more big hail events over here, and there's more fires in the non-normal fire range areas than there ever have been in the past. And what we're seeing is that does, I don't think that's going to get less. I think it's going to get more over time, or it could. And I'm not like a alarmist and all that stuff, but just you're seeing some of those things happen. And so that worries me from the standpoint of how we serve our customers and how we provide products that add value to them, because it's a pretty tough go on the carrier side. And I was on the carrier side, and you have to find a way to make money. You've got this money that's invested in your business, but you have a responsibility to figure out how to use it and leverage it in the right way. And when you see these tragic events, it is a giant capital drain. And I think the industry does a great job generally getting behind that. But it's still concerning, right? Because there's a lot of turmoil. When I look and do consumer research, because I love that kind of stuff, what I hear today that gives me pause, but gives me a chance for thinking of it as an opportunity is consumers dislike the insurance business, agents, and carriers more today than ever in the past. They absolutely don't like us, right? And I would rather be self-aware than to sugarcoat it, right? It's just what's happening. Why do they dislike us? Well, it's not that they dislike us as people necessarily. They dislike us because their rates have gone up a lot and they don't necessarily understand it. As an insider, we understand it, but they don't understand that. They've had their homeowners policy has been canceled 3 times. If you're in Florida or California, you may be with a Fair Plan or a Citizens, and you've been this disruption. All you've done is pay your premiums, and the next thing you've been disrupted. If you're in Florida, here's one thing that happens. You'll find somebody that has their auto with Safeco, their boat with Progressive, their house with Tower Hill or Cabrillo Costo. They'll have their wind policy with Wright Flood. They'll have their, and you know what? Just keeping up with all those bills is might near impossible, right? So all that stuff makes it for a difficult time, right? To try to serve customers in industry that's got a lot coming at us at the same time. So I painted a pretty negative picture, as you can tell now, Jeff. Let me give a little silver lining to
It's
it.
realism too, though,
I think
right? Yeah.
self-aware is important. I'm going to tag back into Liberate. I know we're not trying to make it the Liberate show,
That's
but
okay.
it's so important to me that people heard this. So you have carrier friends and I have carrier friends, right? These people run insurance companies. We know the CEO of many insurance companies in the country. We're very fortunate. And by the way, generally, they're all pretty darn good people too, right? We
Absolutely. Yeah.
enjoy seeing them and spending time with them. They don't have giant egos like you would think they do. A couple do. A
Right.
couple do. But many of them, like Trish at Progressive, who I know like that much, almost none, is a fantastic human being first and foremost. So we get to see and interact with some of these folks over time. But when I look at that and I see these problems, I hearken back to what we can do at Liberate on the carrier side, which can be very extravagant, but can be very basic too. A person in Florida in the most recent hurricanes, the hurricane's blowing through the state, and it's a big area, right? It's a giant area that's blowing through, lots of havoc, and things are going on. For the carrier partners we have, they never had a hold time on their claim system. Nicole picked up the phone and goes, "Hey, since Nicole, how can I help you?" "Yeah, I've got a claim." "Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you okay?" "Yep, I'm fine, but we got a hole in the roof, making it up here, right? We got a hole in the roof and there's water coming in and the wind's still blowing. Thanks for letting us know. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to get a little information here from you. And with that information, I can empower the systems within the company to start helping you out. In addition to that, after asking these questions, it appears you have a water mitigation issue, that water mitigation needs to happen. And so I have deployed a company that's going to be bringing a blue tarp to your house, and we're going to go and get that thing. We're not going to solve everything at this moment in time, but we're going to solve that. We're not going to continue to have water coming in your house when there's a remedy for that. And so we were deploying that system, and we actually filled up our carriers that represented us. We took the best and the brightest of all the water mitigation companies out of the market for everybody else because we deployed them in the second the claim was reported. In essence, not second, but very quickly into the conversation, we were deploying that. And it gave our carriers a giant advantage. And the best thing to me is the insureds didn't have to suffer through waiting on a hold time, right?
Yeah.
It's just when that event occurs for you, right? You and I, The last thing, I pay my premiums. I haven't had a claim. I haven't had a wreck in 20 years. I haven't had a homeowner claim, any of that stuff. And then all of a sudden I need it. And to not be able to talk to somebody is just awful, right? And I think of one other case too, Jeff, that comes to mind for me. I was listening to some calls from a call center the other day, and I've been in this too. And there was a young lady that called in, and you can tell she was down on her luck. And she's trying to make a $700 payment on her non-standard auto insurance policy, whatever. And she was trying to be the citizen that keeps their policy enforced, the com being compliant and all that. And didn't have the money and all that stuff. And she's talking to the person with some degree of, I want this. That was all well and good. And the person who was actually handling it was very, very good. But the problem was that she had to wait for about 4 or 5 minutes on hold before she ever got to a person. And then she was trying to, all she's trying to do is give you $700. I got $700 that I don't have, that I don't need, but I'm trying to do the right thing. And I would give you, and I had to wait for 4 minutes. And she didn't complain. But you and I would hear that and just, it just, it's a visceral reaction that we have when we hear something like that happen. So
No,
I
love
love the
it.
fact that we can solve some of that, right? We can solve that by answering calls and taking care of people and doing all that, and how it can augment the human, right? The human person that's there that has a licensure and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's what we're after. As I personally look to 2030, we're known for our famously friendly humans, right? I don't want
100%.
them interrupted, but at the same time, you're right. You can't predict it. We have over 100,000 customers in Tiny Rideshare, and they don't call one at a time. Nobody might call for 3 hours, and then 5,000, or that's an
Yeah,
exaggeration,
no, I get, no, you're
700
exactly right.
might call, or 80 might call at exactly 10:01, and we might only have 41 people on the phones or something, right? And all of a sudden, now people are holding. And for so many people, they're just trying to do the transactional thing. They're not really seeking human connection, which is
Yes.
what we're all about. Which a
Yeah.
lot of companies are, right? They want to leverage it so they don't have to talk to them, but we're different. And you want to be able to give them the service they want. Well, we're just scratching the surface, I submit to everyone listening, that we're using Nicole in ways, Liberate's product in ways that is revolutionary today. I'm not completely satisfied that it's where it needs to be. Nothing against them. It's that my goal is for it to be so much more. And so that we're anticipating what the client may need and solving it right when we recognize they've called, right? But fast forward to 2030, it's going to be the normal. It's going to be what the fax machines were to the 90s, what websites were to the early 2000s, what mobile apps were to 2015, right? This is just going to be, it's going to be an absolute. And by the way, your company's at the forefront of it, right? So it's just pockets
We're
of
very
growth.
fortunate. Yeah, very fortunate that we are at the forefront. I think it And we're insurance people. I think those two things matter. We got a giant head start over everybody else because we've been doing it for a long time. And Amrish has built a company and deployed this technology in the past. And so now we're doing it for others. That's a huge advantage. And then the other thing is that we know the insurance industry. It's what we do, right? We're all insurance veterans who are out there just trying to solve problems that the industry has suffered through over time. And it's so cool that we can solve them.
I love it. We have reached the portion of our show which so many
Uh-oh.
people fast forward to.
Okay, cool.
And Tom, what we ask every guest, every executive, every successful person, entrepreneur, is to share their hard-won wisdom lesson with us, because every one of us has had some type of trial or tribulation in our past that has impacted how we make future decisions. Right. And the power, because the passion that comes behind sharing that hard-won wisdom resonates with people. If you would share with us just whatever comes to your mind, your hard-won wisdom lesson from some trial or tribulation that, of course, braces every future decision you make, because you got to press it up against that.
That's good. That's good, Jeff. That's a great question, by the way. And I heard that in your other podcast. And by the way, let's encourage people to go back and listen to those other podcasts because they're very well done. I listened to your most recent one and I was just shocked by the brilliant strategist consultant that you had who's built several businesses that came in. Just a great conversation. Here's what I would say for me, right? I did well on the academic side, right? The education and all that, I did well on that, kind of accomplished some things there and enjoyed that process. I moved up very quickly in organization, right? I had a I just was working hard. I mean, I got the great good fortune of having great mentors, and I think that's an important lesson for people. But then from that, I met that that great gift with everything I had so that I could have a successful career and opportunity. But here's what I didn't know that I learned at some point, and I still have to think about it every time I do something, right? And that is being self-aware of what I'm good at and what I'm really not good at, right? There's some things I'm really good at, right? And I say that with no degree of an ego or any, it's just I'm really good at relational. I'm really good at really trying to add value in the relationship economic kind of quadrant, if you will. I care about trying to help other businesses be successful. I care about my network of people and I try to help them and they try to help me. And it's such a good thing. I'm good at that. I'm good at communicating and sharing ideas and thoughts. I'm good at thinking of different ways of handling things. Okay. So I've gone through this list and my wife, who's again, still in the other room, is probably thinking, oh my gosh, will we ever stop? But here's what I'm not good at. I'm not good at getting in the weeds on stuff, right? I'm not good at designing some kind of a database for something or whatever. And there was at some point in time, I felt pressure that I need to be good at everything. And I felt deficient in a lot of things. So I'm like, oh gosh, why can't I be good at that too? And at some point in time, my hard-learned wisdom was quit trying to do those things, quit trying to play to your whole self and play to your strengths and not to your weaknesses. And that, I still struggle with that all the time. We're something doing something but liberate that I could be doing so much better if I focus on this and not that. And I still wrestle with this thing, but that's the one thing every time that if I was going to share some wisdom with somebody is get to that point where you understand what you're good at and where you add the most value, and then spend your time, energy, and effort focused on that, because that's how you build a business. So that's what
I know. I love it. Great hard won wisdom, because I can add piggyback on top of that for you, because I know you to be a visionary. I know you to be a strategist. I know you to possess superior human relations to assemble a team. And one of the things that you've held a mirror to me that I'm only now able to say by seeing in you is I'm A to Z too. The B to Y bores me. I don't know if it's my ADD or I just can't get into the weeds. I can cast a vision. I can create a team. But if I have to stop from A to Z and go B to Y, it's a weakness. It's a pain point for me. And I don't possess that skill set. And just watching you has been a mirror for me to realize that. I'm saying it a little different than you, right? But I'm not the visionary or the strategist you are. But I can ascribe to be that. Yeah, that is very good hard-won wisdom. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, I think, let me say one thing about that when it comes to you. So yes, there's certain things we're not good at, right? And just for you to know, and for others to know in the audience, when I see Jeff Arnold, I see zero deficiencies. I want people to know that. Yeah, I see nothing that he doesn't do well. Now, the smart part for you and the smart part for me that we learned over time is surround yourself with people that can do those things well that you don't do well. That's one lesson. But then the other lesson is don't sit around and beat. I do this a lot. Don't sit around and beat yourself up over all the things. Just embrace the fact that you suck at some things. You're just not good at that. And it's okay to not be good at everything, but make sure that you're not beating yourself up over that all the time either, because that's not a healthy way. To your point, earlier in our conversation today, if anybody's still hanging on, that's when you started. And I loved it. And so that was wisdom for me. So anyway, carry on.
I love it. It's been great. I start every day before I put my feet on the floor, being thankful, right? You call it prayer, whatever you do. Mine is being thankful and great and grateful. And then reminding myself, like we started at the beginning of this show, to get control of my mental thoughts, to align, attract, and receive goodness into my life by keeping those bad thoughts away. My feet don't hit the floor. It's an exercise I do every morning. And that's been powerful, right?
Yeah.
So
that's so good.
How can our listeners get in touch with the esteemed Mr. Tom Freeland?
Yeah. First of all, I love talking to people in the industry. And obviously, we'd be grateful to talk to any carrier friends and agencies, because I think we have something going to help them from a liberate side. But yeah, you can populate my email address and my cell phone number. I don't care. I work all the time. A text is usually a great way to reach me. Email, whatever, but a text and I'll call you right back. But yeah, I want to be like you are. I want to be available. And so I'll make sure you have all that information and know about our company, Liberate, our websites, all those things too. So if you want to connect on a personal level or a professional level, then I'd love to be involved in that with you. And I think that's part of what we do in terms of giving back, right? Yeah. And Jeff, I think we need to get on the road at some point in our career. We need to get on the road and go to these college campuses or wherever we go and just proselytize this message, and also to go into the messages where agents are, encourage them some too. Realize they're getting beat up so much right now, right? They're getting beat up because of things they can't control. The fires burn in California, and there's somebody taking claims every day, and they're just beat up. And I feel for the consumers in the most the biggest way, but I also feel for those in our industry too. They're just trying to serve. And so we have that something gift we can offer there. And we're going to figure that out, my friend. I promise you that.
I agree. When you invited me to speak in California, the number one thing that I saw in the audience, because I was talking on behalf of you and Liberate, was, you know, we just aligned with all those agents going, we know this is the hardest market you've ever been through. There's carry capacity issues. And they had no one of anyone just stand up in front of them and acknowledge that, right? Because carriers don't really want to acknowledge that, right? They just
That's right.
And so they're struggling in all parts. And that's what we can do, right? And so I'd that's love for us to tag team at different conventions, right? The Tom and Jeff show or the Tom and Jeff show, right? And just encourage people, but also transfer some of the knowledge we've learned over the years. So,
you know, what's funny. Let me interrupt you one more time. Because this is cool. So you should tell, I'm going to tell just a second of that story. And that second is this. I am talking to my good friend, Jeff Arnold, on the phone. And we always start with some version of how's life. In other words, we'll talk business or whatever, but how's life? What's going on? And you said, how's life or whatever? And I said, I'm speaking in a conference here. And I'm just coming from San Diego. We had a meeting with Tokio Marine and now I'm going over here. And I think I was driving. I shouldn't be talking. And I know that, but I was talking to you and it makes it okay. And so anyway, I said, I've got to do this thing. And in California, and boy, we got to talk to these agents and carriers and try to talk to my stuff. And I said, I wish you were here. And what did you say? You said, Tom, let me see what I can do. And then the next thing I know, you're driving through, literally driving in your very cool RV. You're driving up from Arizona to be there with me in Palm Springs for the Alliance of Agents Alliance Conference. And I was just floored. And we taught two classes we had two engagements with big audiences. And it went so well. And so anyway, just that's what friends do that for each other. That's not even, that's not colleagues, that's pals. And so I so much appreciate it. And thanks for having me on the podcast today. Great honor to be on with Jeff Arnold.
Tom Freeland, thank you so much for being a guest. I am certain, sir, that you will be back. Say hello to your wonderful wife, Monica, and your children. And hope to see you in person soon, my friend.
Me too, buddy. Thank you. Thanks, Jeff. Have a great day.
Hi again, Jeff Arnold here. Thank you so very much for listening to Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen, if you are a successful founder, visionary, entrepreneur, or know someone who is that would be a good fit for this program, please visit or have them visit podcast.jeffarnold.com. That's podcast.jeffarnold.com. Two more quick asks for you, please. If you got something out of this interview, please share it and tag us on social media. I love seeing posts and guest suggestions. And then as a quick reminder, we're always putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, I would say please go ahead and subscribe to us on all your favorite social media channels. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.